You want water?
I got this for now.
No, I said Tony.
Tony, you want water?
Oh, I got it. No, we got it. We got the mayor. He says, I'll take care of it.
Sorry, I'll take two.
You're not getting to.
I'll save this one for later.
You know, you mentioned the Small Women's Society. Have you spoken to anyone?
Good evening. We'll call to order the special city council meeting and meeting of the redevelopment agency for Thursday, May 29th. Roll call, please.
Council Board Member Costello.
Here.
Council Board Member Guthrie.
Here.
Council Board Member Fellows.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Vice Chair Arnold.
Well, you got those backwards, but yeah.
Hi, sorry. Mayor Chair Ferrara.
Here. Item 3 is a flag salute, so if everybody would stand, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item 4 is citizens' input, comments, and suggestions on special meeting items. Anyone here that would like to comment on the special meeting items tonight? This would be an opportunity for you to do so. If you would please come up and state your name.
My name is Sean St. Denis. Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. I'm with SP Maintenance Services. I'm the current sweeping provider for the city street sweeping services. And I know it's a very small item on a very large plate for you folks tonight, and I just want to speak a few minutes on that. Even though it is a very small item in the overall budget shortfall for that the city's faced, it's a significant item for our business and for our company. I'm not going to take a lot of time here going over the numbers and all the details and the facts as I see them. I did notice in the staff report that there's a $50,000 savings projected for canceling our contract and bringing the services in-house. Currently, your current contract with us, we invoice about $84,000 a year, give or take a few dollars. So that leaves about $34,000 for the city to, to provide those services. And within our existing contract, that's relatively impossible to do. So that's one perspective I'm coming at it from. And I would love to sit down with any or all of the council members and show you our books and see what it takes to actually do the services from our end and compare those to maybe what the staff has presented to you folks, because all I got was a staff report and it just has a $50,000 number in there. So,
all right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other comments? Okay. Hearing none, we'll close public comment. We'll move to item 6. I'm sorry, item 5. And that's the appointment of an alternate to SLOCOG's Florida. Steve, I did check with SLOCOG on this, and we're okay appointing a second alternate. The only thing we have to do once we do take action, we have to notify the executive director in writing as soon as possible, and I'm sure that could probably be done by email.
Okay.
So we should probably do that first thing tomorrow. Did you want to go ahead with this?
Yeah, just briefly, we discussed this at the last meeting, and it appeared that both our primary member and alternate would not be able to attend the next week's SLOCOG board meeting, and I think that there was some substantive items to be discussed at that meeting and would help to have our city represented. And so we had recommended at this meeting to make a formal appointment of a second and temporary alternate. And I believe that Councilmember Arnold agreed or volunteered or was coerced. I'm not sure what they remember what it was, but was willing to do that. And so that would be our recommendation to make an appointment of Councilmember Arnold as our second alternate at this time for the SLOCOG board.
Okay. Anyone have any comments? If not, I will make a motion to appoint Councilmember Arnold as the second alternate to SLOCOG.
Press staff to report to you that the city is currently facing a very substantial budget shortfall. However, I'm also very pleased to be able to report to you that your entire organization has pulled together very quickly and has demonstrated an amazing amount of teamwork and cooperation and commitment in order to develop an immediate plan for your consideration that we believe will address this budget situation in an effective manner. Now, staff did project originally this year that some of the city's revenue sources would decline. However, at the midpoint of this fiscal year, we had reason to believe that we were in pretty good shape with regard to the city's major revenue sources. And Angie, our financial services director, will go over that in more detail in a moment. But we then, 3 weeks ago, we then received a series of very negative financial data related to our financial projections, which has put us in what I would describe as a very negative and a very serious budget situation. As a result, staff began working immediately on an action plan. By the following Tuesday, all the directors met to review ideas. That Thursday and Friday, I addressed all the staff in the organization. By the following week, we had developed an initial draft plan. I then met personally with each employee whose position could potentially be impacted by the recommendations of the plan. As you know, each of the council members were individually briefed. Had a number of meetings with representatives from the labor unions. And then last week, we had a follow-up meeting with all the staff of the organization again to present to them the final recommendations and get their feedback. So as you can see, I believe that the staff reacted quickly to address the situation in a comprehensive and effective manner as quickly as possible. Now, as you know, we have had a number of tough budgets the last several years. Each year we've had to make budget cuts. Each year we've had to make tough decisions. However, there are a number of factors this year that I believe make the situation much more difficult and much more challenging that I wanted to review with you quickly. First of all, the amount of cuts necessary that we're dealing with this year are much more substantial than those we've had to deal with in the past. Secondly, we don't have much available to us in terms of good revenue enhancement options, particularly since the city just recently completed a comprehensive update to our fees, and that we've also had successful revenue measures on the ballot three of the last four elections, even though those measures were primarily dedicated to funding for capital projects and not to assist the general fund. Third, we don't really have excess of reserves available to rely on, since the city's reserves last year dipped slightly below our policy minimum level of 15% of the general fund. We're also in the middle of a budget cycle this time, and so what this means, while in the past we had a number of cuts we had to make while we were going through the process of reviewing budget needs, this time we're starting with a budget that's been in place and has actually gone through two cycles of budget cuts already. If you'll recall, earlier this year we had to reopen this budget and have already made almost $500,000 in adjustments. So you can see we're starting from a pretty difficult position this time. And then lastly, and probably most scary to me, is I believe we're entering a period of economic decline nationally. And so we've made it clear to our staff that this isn't just a situation of trying to get through the next years until things get better. The following year, we've been very careful to try to focus our recommendations on items that we believe we can sustain beyond next fiscal year, if necessary. So this is a summary of the problem that we've experienced this year. And at this time, I'd like Angie to kind of give you a little more information on the details of the numbers themselves.
Good evening. Yes, please. Yeah, you can. I just need to see it. As Steve mentioned, at mid-year, we were right on budget. We had estimated with property tax that we would have a 7% increase, and we were exactly that at mid-year. We were actually that at third quarter, but once we received the April payments, we were below by 1% compared to the prior year. So my first reaction was maybe there was an error, so I called the county and we worked together, and what I was able to discover is we've been receiving their sales tax. I did review the businesses that they had indicated, and there are a couple that the city has not received that revenue. So what they do is they turn it over to the state. The state makes the decision whether we owe the county that money. So I do predict that it'll be less than what the county thinks. TOT, this is down due to the Hampton Inn completion has been delayed, and we were kind of aware of that. We were hopeful that that would come through. But property transfer tax is down, and that is due to the declining housing market. That tax is on when property changes hands, so obviously when there's less sales, that tax goes down. Building permits, we were aware that this was decreasing, but we were not sure by how much, especially since we did the user fee schedule and actually we're going for full cost. We were hoping that would offset some of the decrease, but the housing activity has just been so minimal that we haven't seen any kind of offset for that. Children in Motion, this is down due to some enrollment decreases, and our Parks and Rec director is going to go over that a little bit more in detail later on. Vehicle license fees, the most I can tell about this is that several state agencies take their admin costs off, and this has increased dramatically before it's actually appropriated to all the different jurisdictions. Other revenues have also decreased, and this is mainly other building-related revenues. Interest revenue, obviously, is going down. Expense recoveries, things like that. So overall, we're predicting a $734,000 decrease in revenues. And as you can see, in this fiscal year, we're saying $952,000 in expenditures are above revenue, and in the second year, $1.2 million. And this is if we do nothing. Did you want
to? A couple of things to. One, just expand on the 0708 figure, the addition to the $734,000 that reaches the $952,000 is from carryovers, and those were expected. So it's really the $700,000 figure we're targeting and trying to address, because there's always some carryovers, and then they end up getting carried over. Some get carried over to the next year. The significance in fiscal year 0809 is that right off the top, we have to, you know, we have to use 0708 as a base in projecting 0809. So right off the bat, we have to reduce that $734,000. And then in addition to that, we need to take the changes in our revenue trends we experienced this year and apply them to our increases that we had projected in 0809. And so that comes up with a number of other reductions. So that gets us to the $1.2 million, which is the deficit we're now targeting to try to eliminate in 0809.
The City Council has established an undesignated general fund balance goal of 20% of annual appropriations with a minimum goal of 15%. The city's undesignated general fund represents the available resources to provide funding for future contingencies, such as the economic fluctuations that we're experiencing right now. In 06-07, our ending fund balance was 13%. If we do not do anything, our projected fund balance for this year will be 6%, and next year will be a negative 2%. I'll turn it back over to Steve.
So So you can see we have no choice but to act quickly to address the situation, particularly as it relates to our reserves. The first issue is how we stop the bleeding this year. Obviously, we are limited in terms of our options since the fiscal year is almost complete. However, we have developed five recommended measures that we think can address the majority of the problem this fiscal year. First of all, the city is fortunate in that we have approximately $400,000 in reserves in our liability and workers' compensation accounts. This is money left over from when we switched several years ago from the CCC-SIF, or Central Coast City Self-Insurance Fund, which was a local insurance pool, to the CJPIA, or California Joint Powers Insurance Authority, which is a statewide pool. At that time, it was necessary to leave funds in those accounts to handle what is referred to as trailing claims. However, those claims have mostly been completed by now, and therefore those reserves are no longer necessary. Now, we have been drawing down minor amounts of those funds. We had originally recommended leaving this amount in at the beginning of the year because we were told our liability costs were going to start going up because of some major claims experienced by other cities in the pool. However, due to the success of the city's safety program, 2 to 3 years at the least, and so we don't want to create a situation where we backed up so much need for equipment replacement that we're creating a substantial problem 2 or 3 years from now. So we're trying to balance those two things. Third, we've placed we've eliminated all remaining travel and conference activity and expenditures for staff for the remainder of the fiscal year. We are negotiating with South County Sanitary Service for a new franchise agreement for the refuse recycling and green waste collection. That franchise includes a significant extension of the franchise agreement, which will reduce financing costs for them that are associated with the expansion of the landfill. And so we've negotiated a fee with them, which will share some of those costs with us since we are providing the extension. And it will be at no cost through to the customer, and we're expecting that to generate about $22,000 annually on an ongoing basis for the city. And then lastly, we have met with each of the departments to determine potential year-end savings. We've instructed all staff to limit all their purchases to only those things absolutely necessary, and so we believe that that will generate somewhere in the area of another $100,000 or possibly more. So if you add those up, it's definitely over $600,000. We think with some luck it could get close to making up the full $700,000 plus. At this time, I'd like to just discuss a little bit about the approach we used in developing the plan to address the projected budget shortfall in fiscal year 08-09. And first of all, our philosophy in these situations is and has always been to place our top priority on maintaining our service levels. Because, and this means that we don't recommend across-the-board cuts. We don't recommend automatically eliminating vacant positions. These measures are the easiest way to address the problem with the least impact on the organization. However, they arbitrarily impact our service levels. And so instead, we try to be very proactive and strategic in identifying areas that we feel that can be cut while minimizing the impact to our services because, first and foremost, we are here to serve the community. That being said, and recognizing that our first priority is in maintaining those service levels, our second priority is to try to minimize the impact on the organization and our staff. Given the fact that personnel costs assume over 75% of the city's general fund, it's impossible to address these kind of cuts without eliminating positions. But we have tried to utilize vacancies creatively to hopefully minimize the number of or the level of layoffs that will be necessary. A third, we're committed to tackling the what I refer to as the structural budget deficit head on. And this means that we're communicating to our staff that we're not interested in gimmicks or creative ways to shift the problem around or borrow out of it temporarily just to find it reappear the next year with an even greater deficit. Because I think we've all seen how this works at the state level in their efforts to address their budget deficits. Fourth, we've also emphasized to our staff that the emphasis in this plan will be on cost-cutting measures. I mentioned earlier that due to our previous taxing, our previous tax measures, as well as fee increases, we don't believe that there would be a lot of support in the community for additional revenue measures at this time. But even more importantly than that, we've communicated to our staff that it's important to understand that in an economy like this, everybody's hurting, and so our plan needs to be focused primarily on cost-cutting measures and not just simply passing the burden on to others through increased taxes and fees. And then lastly, we emphasized a team approach. We will be presenting you with a long list of measures that will require everybody's participation in the organization to successfully implement these measures. And while nobody's happy about any of the cuts, I do believe we are presenting you with a plan that at least generally is generally has general unified support from the organization in moving forward and proposing this plan. Just the last couple kind of general statements before we get into the specifics of the plan. First of all, it's there's never an easy way to do these kind of cuts. I think we have given you a good plan that accomplishes our priorities of trying to minimize the impact of service levels and on loss of positions and employees. I find that prioritizing our services and programs and projects and making conscious cuts to those programs, projects, and services. The reason I mention this, two things. One is I think the real accomplishment of this plan is that we've been able to cut a substantial amount of costs out of the budget without getting into what I believe are this fourth level of cut. I think we're primarily focusing on those first two levels. There are definitely within here some recommendations for service level cuts, but I think they fall into that third category. I think we can implement them without a major impact to our services in the eyes of the community. Of course, that's only possible, through the dedication and hard work of our staff. The other reason I mention this is where we've gotten, where we're at right now in terms of developing these recommendations, I do believe we're at the point where we're struggling to come up with additional areas for cuts without getting into that fourth category. And so as we move forward, if the council desires additional cuts, or if in the future we continue to have negative declines in our revenues, then we're kind of getting into that next stage. It's going to be more difficult and having to really prioritize our different items and make significant cuts there. One very last point, and general point, before we get into the specifics. One other thing I discussed with the staff that I think it's important for the council and primarily for the public. I found that when cities get into these situations, it's very common to get criticism regarding why the city is doing, still doing this project, or why is the city still doing that project, when they're supposed to be out of money. And so I think it's important to remind everybody that over the past several years, one of our critical needs has been a lack of resources dedicated to capital projects and maintenance of our infrastructure and maintenance of our facilities. And so we've worked very hard to develop revenue sources earmarked for those types of projects. And so as we move forward, even though we have substantial constraints in our operational budgets, we do still have funding for these type of projects. We're planning on moving ahead with some very exciting projects that will improve the community. These projects continue to be important. Delaying them only increases cost in the future to the city and doesn't really help the general fund situation at all. So, and of course, the most significant of those revenue sources is the local sales tax that was recently adopted. And we want to say again that we continue to be committed to ensuring that those revenues are utilized for the purposes that they were proposed for and communicated to the public for. And So I think that plan reflects that. That being said, there's some minor areas where there's a little bit of excess monies that we believe could help the general fund and still fall within those categories that comply with the intent of the measures. And they're very minor recommendations, but we'll point those out as we go through the plan. So any questions before I start getting into the specifics? As I mentioned, we have a long list of measures. I have passed out to you a revised, I think I mentioned to you, it's a revised report. There's only a few minor changes from the report you received earlier in the week. And I will kind of quickly summarize these. There's a few that I would like to get into in more detail on, and at that point I'll turn to some of the department directors, and I've asked them to make just a brief presentation on some of the items that I think require additional discussion. The first item is community development staff, part-time staff. This was a former full-time position that we modified to a part-time, two part-time positions. The majority of the savings is actually in next fiscal year, even though this is something we've already implemented, and it was at the request of the employee. Unfortunately, we're having to go back now and actually recommend elimination of one of the two part-time positions, but I've identified that later on in the report, and we'll mention that later. Second, I already mentioned the fee that we negotiated with South County Sanitary Service for the franchise agreement at $22,000. Landscape maintenance. This refers to landscaping we've done in our commercial areas. Most of that landscaping, including bulb outs and medians, was done for economic development purposes. And therefore, we think it would be appropriate to fund a portion of the costs associated with that landscaping maintenance from our redevelopment agency fund. We've had, just recently, we've had two police commander retirements. And as part of that situation, we worked out an agreement with them that was to both their benefit and the city. It enabled them to retire a little early but still take advantage of retirement benefits that are being initiated this July. As part of that, they also used up the remainder of their accumulated leave, which we had budgeted to carefully be self-sustaining in terms of its fees. And over time, due to a number of reasons, the subsidy has grown and become a problem. And so now our effort is trying to get it back to where it's self-sufficient again, but also maintain the positive things about the program, and it does provide a great service to the city. So at this time, I'd like to turn this over to Doug to give you a little more background about the program, what the problems are, and what we're proposing to address the problem.
Thank you, Steve. Mr. Mayor, City Council, I'm here, as Steve mentioned, to talk about our Children in Motion program. Actually, it's a program I think most of the council or your families have used over the years, and some of your children have actually worked for us in the Children in Motion program. I'm going to speak a little bit about the background of the Children in Motion, some of the problems that have gotten us to where we are now, and the recommendations we're going to recommend to the City Council to get us back on track and hopefully reduce or eliminate the subsidy. First of all, this program is available at four different sites: Harlow, Ocean View, Branch Elementary Schools, and at the Elm Street Community Center. During the school year, our program is available from 7 o'clock in the morning till the time school starts at the actual school sites, and then from the time school gets out in the afternoon until 6 p.m. At the Elm Street Community Center, it's strictly a kindergarten program. So the kids who – we have kids come in the morning as early as 7 o'clock. Then they get bused over to either Harlow or Ocean View Elementary Schools, where they go to afternoon kindergarten. And then kids who had morning kindergarten get bused over to the Elm Street Community Center, and we care for them until their parents pick them up, which could be as late as 6 o'clock in the evening. This program has been in place for over 20 years using what we call a drop-in structure, which means parents can drop their kids off, or actually shouldn't say drop them off, but the kids can use the program really as little as an hour a day. Very convenient for the parents because they pay only for the time they use. However, it's proven not to be cost-effective because we don't really, not knowing how many kids we're going to have each day, and not knowing how much revenue we're going to bring in, it really has created a situation where we're not bringing enough revenue to cover the cost of the program anymore. In addition, the drop-in structure creates a situation where we end up with quite often with overstaffing, because not knowing how many children we're going to have daily, we end up with more staff in place to meet state staffing ratios, which creates a situation we may have. For instance, we may anticipate having 60 kids show up at Ocean View Elementary School after school, and we may end up with only 40. But since we anticipate 60, we have to have five staff in place to meet the 14-to-1 ratio. So anyway, it creates a situation where we often have overstaffing because we don't know how many kids are going to show up daily. The funding problem has occurred over the years for a variety of reasons. I'll go through these. There we go. Part of it is from the increased fees from the school district. It used to be we had use of all the school facilities free of charge. Last year, they instituted $7.50 per day, which is pretty reasonable, but $7.50 per day at each of the school sites. And they also have increased our cost for busing the kids to our kindergarten child care program. Between the two of those, that was about $5,000 increase in fees last year. We had increased licensing fees with the state, which increased our fees by about $1,000. We have increased administrative costs, which actually is staff and personnel costs. So as our salaries and things have gone up, it's created more of a cost for the program. This year, Ocean View started a full-day kindergarten program. So our staff anticipate or actually project that costs us maybe as much as $30,000 in revenue for kids that would have been actually in our kindergarten child care program. And the Bright Futures program, which has started this year at Hardo, cost us at least $2,000, if not more, dollars in revenue. Some previous steps we took to try to reduce the subsidy. Last year, we increased our fees from $2.85 an hour to $3 an hour. We instituted an annual registration fee of $25 per child. And we put in steps to try to reduce overlapping of staff. This occurs particularly when we have our full day care during the summer, spring, and winter breaks. We have full day care, so we have a shift change. In the past, during we had the shift change, we had more people there when we needed for about half hour to an hour. We reduced that overlapping of staff to only have one person stay to pass on concerns about any problem children we've had or problem parents we may have had or facility problems. So anyway, we've reduced the overlapping of staff. Other than strictly providing child care, there's other benefits of the Children in Motion program for the city's recreation programs. First of all, Children in Motion staff provide a pool of staff to help with our seasonal playground programs. Again, I mentioned our spring, winter, and summer playground programs. Oh, sorry, Steve. You want to do these, or you want me to punch them, or you want to punch them?
Yeah, is that right?
Yep, thanks. Anyway, provides a pool of staff to help with our seasonal playground programs, which I mentioned. Also provides substitute, and during summer school, since some of the kids will have half-day summer school, we'll have a half-day plan in place for those children. Changes are projected to bring in an increased revenue of $100,000. Should also help us identify exactly how many children we should expect each day, which in turn will prevent us from overstaffing. So we'll have the right number of staff there to meet the number of children that to meet our state ratios. Actually, at the June 10 meeting, the staff, being myself, will present the actual fee structure for the city for the council's consideration. That should be a public hearing. Program will be evaluated after 6 months to see if we're actually meeting the projections we have for increase in revenues. I should say that if the council does approve of the fee structure at the June 10 meeting, the fees will go into effect August 25th, which is when the new school year will start. It should be noted that both the YMCA and the Boys and Girls Club, South County Boys and Girls Club, expressed interest in the program, actually providing this program, childcare at our sites, if that becomes necessary. Our current fee structure, as I indicated before, it's a drop-in program where parents and children can use the program as little as 1 hour a day. The fee right now is $3 per hour at all four of our sites, and we do charge a $25 annual registration fee for all the children in the program. I've put up on the screen an example of what our fee structure basically will look like. We have, as I mentioned during the school year, we have 5, 4, 3, and 2-day programs available. As you can see, mornings for 5 days a week. And this will vary school by school because some schools may only have, say if our program starts at 7, they may start school at 8:15. Other schools start at 8:30. So the fee will change a little bit school by school, like, just because of the hours that are available. Anyway, this example is for Ocean View Elementary School. You see the mornings would be $105 a month if they use all five mornings. Be $210 a month if they use all five afternoons. And I should say that the month is based on 4 weeks, and so not actual month, but it's actually based on 4 weeks. 4-day program would be $90 a month or $180 for the afternoon. And for the 3 and 2 day programs, $72 a month or $144 for afternoons. 2 days per week would be mornings, $54 a month or $108 per month for afternoons. As you can see, the more hours, the more days that the participants use, the lower the rate is for them. So if they use it 5 days a week, then it's $3.50. It works out to be $3.50 an hour for them. If they only use it twice a week or 2 days a week, I used to say it works out to $4.50 an hour. So to a certain extent, it may encourage parents to use the program more hours just because it's a better rate for them. With that, I'd answer any questions that the council may have at this point.
Any questions for Doug?
What's total revenue currently for Children's in Motion?
We're projecting about $309,000 this year.
Talking about a 30% increase in revenue?
Roughly.
Anything else? Okay, let's move on.
Thank you.
Yeah, I did forget to mention, please, as we go along, if you have questions, you can just, we encourage you to bring them up as we go through each item. Okay, the next item is our travel and training accounts, and we've recommended significant reductions in our funds budgeted for those items. Essentially, the practice we're putting into effect, at least for the next fiscal year, is that we would budget for staff, travel, and training. We would eliminate all except for one in-state program for each department director, and that's because we all have League of California Cities programs associated with our particular field that normally provide a lot of information that helps with, you know, these types of issues. So we think that that would still be a good investment. But all other programs for directors and all other programs for other staffs would be eliminated. Except for training we would provide funding only for training that's associated with public safety training that's absolutely necessary, training necessary for legal certificates, and then any that's required by state or federal law for particular positions. With regard to the city council, which is totally up to your discretion, what we had thrown out as a proposal would be to budget for each council member to attend, if you want, to attend the League of California Cities annual conference, which we think also provides a lot of valuable information that helps with these efforts and other things that you deal with. And then we threw out kind of the
And so it's become so much of an issue that it's going to be on our board of directors meeting. Ways in which the league can facilitate some of the costs for travel. I'm not sure we're going to get very far with it, but they are recognizing that the more we feel the pinch, the more it's going to affect participation in some of the league activities. So just for clarification, for example, you and Kelly are on policy committees. So does that mean that what you're proposing here, you would not attend the policy committee meetings? Is that it?
That's correct. I'm actually not able to attend the next one, and I think that might be my last one, or is there one more coming up? Oh, I had planned, I might be able to attend the annual conference, but...
Okay.
But I've attended the majority of them, and I think Kelly has too, so...
Okay.
Any other questions on that? Okay. Next, we're proposing to eliminate the city print shop. This is something that has operated fairly cost-effectively for us in the past, but we're at a point where we will probably need to make some upgrades to that facility. We have a costly equipment maintenance agreement on the printing equipment. And at this point, we believe we can do it cheaper by contracting out our printing services, which most other organizations do at that point. So we're proposing eliminating that and probably getting about a $10,000 savings. There probably would be some impact on departmental budgets because they'll have to assume more of their in-house printing, utilizing contract services. But the money we do have available in the central account, we will distribute to those accounts and cover the most of it. The community development contractual services account, we've proposed to eliminate almost all of that. That's money that's budgeted to be available for them for consultant services, for special projects and studies that come up throughout the year. The same for Public Works contractual services account. We're eliminating the majority of that money. That primarily goes to an outside engineering firm who does some grant work for us and also really manages and administers the capital improvement program. So the department has trained an in-house person that we will be reclassifying to be able to do the grant work. And then, in addition to that, the CIP accounting work will all be transferred to the Financial Services Department staff. The city attorney contractual services account, we're recommending a reduction of $19,000. I think $10,000 of that would be to decrease money available for use of outside consultants on special cases. So a lot of that will be based on how successful we are moving forward and limiting our litigation. The other amount was through some efficiency measures we've worked with our city attorney Tim on, and we're trying to do some of the kind of more basic things like drafting initial contracts and preparing resolutions, things like that in-house, and trying to focus his work more on just review and corrections, and then we've done some other things to just better manage his time, and he's been very cooperative with it. Both the police chiefs and fire chiefs have gone through and found a number of potential savings they think are feasible to implement at this time through miscellaneous operational accounts. And then we've also worked with the directors of the smaller departments in terms of coming up with additional reductions in those operational accounts. HVAC, we have a contract for maintenance of our air conditioning equipment. It was established in 1995. It was kind of interesting. It was set up as a lease purchase agreement for pretty expensive air conditioning equipment that was installed throughout the city facilities. It was to be paid back through this lease purchase agreement, and the payments were made from energy savings that were received from the project. So it was a great thing at that time. However, our obligations expired in 2005. We've continued to maintain it as a contract just to get the maintenance on the equipment. But we've evaluated and determined that we think we could do the maintenance in-house, and so we're recommending we cancel that contract. That'll be a savings about $25,000 initially, and then probably more than that the second year. And then we come to our in-house street sweeping proposal. This is something we brought up a few years ago, working with the city of Grover Beach on a proposal that involved additional staff. Now coming back with a modified proposal that uses existing staffing, so we think we can provide much more
extension. When the budget issues came up, we started looking at some of our operations, and one of those areas that our street supervisor came up with was was looking at the street sweeping operations itself, and how can we do a little bit better at that and save some money for the city. And one of the things that we looked at was trying to do it in-house again, and we had talked about this maybe a couple of years ago. And the cost became very expensive because we were looking at hiring a new person, and that person was going to be doing part of the city of Rio Grande and part of the city of Grover Beach. So the cost there became a little bit high because we did have to hire a new person.
In this case, the proposal that we're putting forth this evening is to utilize existing in-house staff. This will require leasing or purchasing of a new piece of equipment since we don't have a street sweeper right now. We'll have to lease. We have some numbers on that. We thought we got some very favorable numbers for leasing as opposed to purchasing, so we're recommending the leasing part of that. And then, of course, using existing staff to assign to the street sweeping duties, as I talked about, the previous proposals included creating a new position, which added much more cost. So let's look at some of the annual savings. You heard Mr. St. Denis talk about the current contract. He bills about $84,000. We get $4,000 back from Caltrans for sweeping 227, so he bills us about $80,000 last year. As I mentioned, we're in negotiations with him, and we talked about increasing the cost per curb mile. Right now, we're paying about $20 a curb mile. But due to increases in labor cost and, of course, fuel cost, Mr. St. Denis thought that $25 might be a break-even point for him. So when we had talked to him, I decided that to put a proposal to him to break that over time. So we started out at 23 and incrementally increased over that three-year remaining period of our contract up to 28. So taking that as the basis, we came up with these numbers. If we use $23, the contractor will probably bill us about $95,000. Using our own forces, we think with the lease program, we can get the job done for about $44,000, so there'll be a $51,000 savings. Now, Steve mentioned earlier there was a $41,000 savings, but that's overall if we had to go and lease and buy some equipment and do some things. So,
Actually, the $41,000 refers to what's actually in our budget for next year now, minus the cost that we would have. The difference is this is the actual savings. So since the contract would go up, if we stuck with the existing contract, we'd actually have to budget additional money next year.
So going forward over the next 2 years, you can see the increase in savings as the cost per curb mile goes up. And so that's what we based our numbers on. For this particular analysis, if we stayed with the $20 a curb mile that we currently have, there'd be a $40,000 savings, as Steve, $41,000 curb savings, as Steve mentioned. One of the things that we need to look at from a staffing point of view is that if we do utilize a staff person, existing staff person, that's going to take time away from doing other things. The budget alternatives and proposals also include not filling one of the positions in the street department, so that would be one person down plus whatever time is spent doing street sweeping. So there's going to be some reduction in staff time dedicated actually to the street maintenance part of it. And so I wanted just to bring that to your attention as we go forward with this. There's going to be some delay in times as we go forward in trying to address some of the street issues as well.
And that's important, and we're trying to identify the specific impacts as we go through through these. We only want to mention the other side to that is one of the benefits we saw here is by keeping this position, this position will still have some time to do street repairs. And so if we didn't do this, it might mean having to eliminate an entirely another position, whereas at least under this scenario, we have the position part-time still to be able to do some of those other responsibilities.
Mr. Mayor, can I ask a question?
Sure, go ahead.
I guess what I'm interested in is what is the actual cost for us to do this, because we're really not counting the employee since we're saying basically we have the employee, but in reality, the employee is not going to be doing something that he would be doing. And so, I'm sure there's more costs than what I have here, but I basically, there's an employee, there's fuel, there's insurance, and there's a vehicle, and I'm guessing it's a lot more than $44,000. And so what is this is one of those I'm a little afraid that we are doing a little smoke and mirror right now on this one.
The vehicle that we are looking at is a diesel, and you can see from the city cost there on the second line, I have increased the cost over time for increased increases in fuel. But that's just one of the issues. We have the leasing. We have the sweeper maintenance is about $8,000 a year. We have $10,000 I had in there for dump fees. So those are some of the other ones that in regards to some of the ones you also mentioned. So those are the fees. We're looking. The dump fees are $10,000 about. And, of course, the sweeper maintenance for the brushes and things like that as they wear out is about $8,000 based on the manufacturer's recommendation.
So what would be if we were going to be costing this? When I look at it and say it was so expensive before when we were going to be doing it as a new position, mm-hmm. my concern is that in reality it's still more expensive than contracting. The only reason is basically instead of letting somebody go, which is good for the organization but not necessarily best for the city if we're looking at just pure costs. What would we be looking at if we were going to be,
No, we don't.
Yeah. Let me ask a question on top of that. All of the things that you mentioned, the line items, mm-hmm. did you conservatively factor those in and still come to $41,000?
Yes. I mean, those are all rounded
numbers. And we get to keep a position.
Right. Right. I mean, those are all very conservative numbers.
But there's no personnel costs in there.
There's no personnel costs.
Yeah, I think that's what Ed is getting at. Right. Councilmember Arnold is getting at is you'd like to see.
Bludgeon is a nice word. That's formal.
We will calculate that. Last time it actually was a savings, but it was very minimal, and that's why we ended up dropping the proposal. So we could calculate it out both ways to show exactly with all costs where we come out, but then also take into account that one position would be an in-house position. So it would be savings to the budget, but it wouldn't be actual maybe savings in the overall operational cost compared to the other option.
And I guess that's right. What I'm getting at. If even taking it in-house is cheaper, that's my concern is that if we're trying real hard to save a position, but by doing that we're actually – technically increasing costs, but if in reality we're looking at a lower cost still, you know, I understand what we're doing here by, you know, not getting rid of somebody and we're basically shifting them to something else that we can do. If that is cheaper, I don't have a real problem with this, but I do have a little bit of a problem if it's considerably more to take it on if we were to not consider the employee issue. And I'm not trying to do that in a vacuum and not trying to do that cold. But I don't think it's really quite fair to anyone to say that this is a pure, you know, $50,000 savings when in reality there's no labor factored in there.
Two things. One, Angie mm-hmm. has the cost of the positions, but we need to break them down as far as how much of their time would be allotted to this versus doing other street work. And then secondly, we have a couple part-time positions that were funded that I believe Randy was targeting those positions for this work. And mm-hmm. that's where we're able to do the be very competitive in terms of our personnel cost, in addition to some of the other things I think he's doing to reduce costs, like stockpile some of the waste at the yard until we need to take one load, kind of economize our loads to the landfill. And he has a number of good ideas where he thinks, being a small operation, we can organize things and reduce costs.
Okay. Do you have a question, Jim?
Yeah, my question is actually the other side of that, and maybe you don't have it, is how many hours are you projecting that our staff is going to be spending this week? In other words, how many hours are we taking away from other road work?
I think we had 40 hours a month, I think was the number that we used in our analysis. Okay. 45 hours a month, I'm sorry.
45, so about 10 a week.
Yeah, 10 or 11 a week, yeah.
And similar question, did you account for any time for the HVAC, the person who's doing the HVAC repair, and how much time they're going to actually spend on doing the...
I hope your mic's on.
Not close enough. On the HVAC repair, did you calculate anything on the hours that you think they're actually going to spend on HVAC? I mean, these are getting to be pretty old units.
There's two ways to look at it. The maintenance that we're taking over was very minimal. That was one of the problems. So we didn't think there was much going to be much impact to his position just taking over the things that they were doing. We're trying to leave some money in their contractual budget if there was something more complicated that we had to bring in to repair something because it was old. But
the position that is going to be eliminated by retirement. We had put in, and I tried to find this before I came today, into the appropriations for the sales tax funding that we actually had an extra position, or maybe it was only a part-time position that we funded through the sales tax.
Right.
Are we keeping that position?
We are holding it vacant until the retirement of that position. Yes, too. We're holding them vacant until the retirement and actually using that savings to help get the additional year of savings from that position. We're expecting it probably retire in somewhere between September and November. If it turned out the person didn't retire, then we would have to go back to a layoff in that particular operation. Our discussions with the individual seem to indicate that there will be a retirement there. Mm-hmm. It's actually two part-time positions, and those were the ones that I mentioned that I think can also assist, would also be participating in the assistance of the street sweeping operation. Since utilizing the part-time positions, we can do that a lot more economically in terms of cost.
So just to restate so I understand, we never actually hired anybody for the, and we're using that funding that we actually meant to use for extra street work, essentially moving it to the general fund to handle current level. We never actually increased the level of street repair that we were doing in-house, and we're now using that to pay the general fund.
No, well, this year that would go, that money partially just goes into the sales tax reserves, not into the general fund. Mm-hmm. It's also, I think we've used it for other street related, some other street related projects.
Next year, then you're going to take that funding and pay what was originally a general fund. So essentially, we're funding what was originally a general fund position. It's not a new position, but we're funding the same position that we had before from the sales tax.
If you kind of look at it a roundabout way, I mean, initially we're taking that savings and trying to make up for the savings waiting for the other position to retire. Once that happens, then those two positions will be directly funded by the local sales tax measure.
Except that those two positions actually replace the general fund position. So the savings is really not savings, it's just moving it to the sales tax.
Well, they'll certainly be picking up a lot of work that is lost from that position. Whether they'll be doing those exact things, I think they're still going to be working on, as you can see, they're going to be doing enhancements to services that we hadn't otherwise done before still. But to some extent, they would be taking on at least some of that workload, yes, from the prior position, general fund position.
I'll leave it there. I'll just leave it there.
Thank you for leaving it there. Okay, we'll move on to City Treasurer Health Benefits.
Okay, the first item here is kind of a unusual situation that we've transitioned into regarding City Treasurer in the city. We have an elected City Treasurer. The responsibilities have been over time through the Municipal Code transferred to the Financial Services Department. However, medical benefits are still paid to the position. The current city treasurer has indicated that she will not be seeking re-election in November, and so staff is proposing that an in-house individual in the financial services department seek that position, and that would bring cost savings to the city since we're already paying an in-house position for those benefits. Obviously, that would require voter approval to implement that. We're also proposing in 2 years to bring forward a ballot measure that would permanently make that position, or proposing on the ballot to permanently make that position an appointed position within the city, as well as discussions of maybe doing something similar with the city clerk position. And that's not just for cost savings. There's a whole variety of issues that we'll get into at another time of the benefits of doing that. But
Steve, why do we have to wait 2 years?
Well, even if you put it on this year's ballot, and Kelly may have to help me out here, it's my understanding that If that was on the ballot and there was somebody running for election on the ballot, that would mean the person elected would still have to fulfill his or her term, which means the other measure would not take effect until that term was completed.
Okay.
So by waiting in a couple more years, it's probably better timing in between the people actually running.
Okay.
Because it gets kind of awkward, and then we get to where we need anyway.
Okay. Wouldn't have to have a special election or anything.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is our interim approach, and the only other thing I wanted to mention is the current city treasurer. She was a former city employee, and when the city treasurer before that resigned, then she had run as a proposing to slightly cut the number of part-time hours in that operation. We think some of the work can be picked up by other staff in the building department since the building permit activity has declined. However, we're also saying this would likely need to eliminate the proactive enforcement that we initiated a while ago and go back to the original program of primarily focusing on inspections and response to on a complaint basis. So that's an item, you know, we would like city council direction on. It's contrary to what you voted on recently. I know it's an important effort for some on the council, and we'd hope before we move forward with that to get commitment from all the council that that you'd be comfortable in going back to just a complaint basis operation. Building inspection and plan check. With the decline in building permit activity, we're fortunate that our building inspector is on a contract basis, and so we were able to cut back his hours without eliminating the position entirely. We also do some outside plan check. That budget has been reduced also, and our building official is assuming more of that work in-house. The next recommendation is something that's not really intended to be proposed as a revenue measure. It's something that we have identified that we need to be doing anyways according to state law, but the chief believes we can do it with in-house staff, and so with the fee, it could generate some additional revenue for us, so we put it on the list. And this time I'd like to have Chief Hubert give a little more detail on this particular program.
You can click. Good evening, Mr. Mayor and council members. The Department of Building and Fire is proposing a multi-dwelling fire and life safety inspection program. The purpose of the program is to prevent loss of life and property by providing prevention, education to property owners, managers, and conducting annual fire and life safety inspections of all apartment buildings with three or more units, which include hotels, motels, bed and breakfast facilities, and other congregate residences. Where we derive our authority is from the California Health and Safety Code, which states that every city or county fire department or district providing fire protection services shall annually inspect all structures, which again includes hotels, motels, lodging houses, apartment houses, and dwellings. This mandate allows for the city, which inspects those structures, to charge and collect a fee from inspection from the owner in the amount determined by us sufficient to pay its cost for that inspection. The program goal is to protect building occupants from injury and loss of life and protect property and prevent property damage and reduce housing and maintenance code complaints and substandard property conditions. The local jurisdictions that conduct multi-dwelling fire and life safety inspections are the City of San Luis, Pismo Beach, Morro Bay, Paso Robles, Templeton, and those other communities in the county which are identified. Grover Beach recently approved a program such as this, and they are we're moving forward with those inspections in the near future. Our proposed program fees are based on the number of units the multifamily dwellings have. So fewer than 10 would be $110, 11 to 30 would be $225, and 30 or greater would be $350. The current inventory of we have in the community are approximately 88 multifamily occupancies. These include, again, the hotels, motels, bed and breakfasts, and apartment complexes. This amounts to 1,341 individual dwelling units within the city. And that concludes my presentation. If approved in concept, a staff report and presentation will be before the council at an upcoming council meeting. More information concerning the program will be provided to council at that time. I'd be glad to answer any questions council may have.
Chief, a few images back, you said it covers its costs. How do we make money if it just covers its costs?
Well, actually, we're not intending to try to make any money. If we do the inspections, which are required of us by state law on an annual basis, we will then derive the revenue from the inspections that we're required to conduct.
I think what it is not falling is that the fact that you're not going to hire anyone else.
Of the staff person's cost for doing that function. But however, the city is already paying that person on salary, so the fee would only cover the cost of them doing that. But as far as revenue to the city, that reimburses us for their salary since we're already paying them.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Okay, at this point, we're recommending some delays in computer and software purchases. This will delay some of our automation goals for the upcoming year, although it won't. It'll still allow us to move forward with some of the new systems that we were going to had planned to install next year. I mentioned equipment replacement. We are proposing to delay the purchase of a couple major truck equipment apparatus, or not apparatus, but equipment replacements during the upcoming fiscal year. The equipment replacement fund, that relates to purchases of vehicles that we delayed in this fiscal year. You may recall we've been working on for some time trying to establish a vehicle replacement fund. And so to do that on a gradual basis, we came up with a practice that we would begin, as we bought new vehicles, we would begin depreciating those vehicles in the years following that, which then essentially becomes a equipment replacement fund. Since we are delaying vehicles that were budgeted for this fiscal year, that means the equipment replacement fund money that we had budgeted next year in those funds can now be deleted or delayed. We also think with the leasing program, if that's approved by the council for the police vehicles, probably will eliminate the need for a vehicle replacement fund in that particular program. A disaster preparedness program, we've been making some minor increases in part-time work hours dedicated to that program. We're trying to definitely enhance that program and move forward with it. And that is one area that I thought a minor amount of local sales tax money would be justified to enhance that program and help us pay for that, since public safety staffing enhancement, what it was one of the clear categories supported by the public for the local sales tax measure. It's only $5,000. And then the second area was we have tried to appropriate all the related expenses to our capital projects to that fund, since the local sales tax fund is our primary funding source for our capital improvement program. That design costs and project management costs, and here we're recommending that administrative and planning costs also be associated with those projects and funded out of those projects. We think that would provide some minor assistance and is actually the appropriate way to fund those costs.
Steve, it seems to me back when we looked at the budget in the past, we talk about we need to replace a certain piece of equipment, a truck, because the maintenance costs have gotten to be so much that we can't afford to keep it any longer. So how do we save money by not replacing those old trucks and so on?
And that's what I mentioned earlier. We're not necessarily saying we're going to be delaying all equipment purchases. We're going to be looking at each one, determining, you know, is this feasible to delay a year or two out? Are the maintenance costs going to go up so much that there isn't a savings? We'll be looking at them vehicle by vehicle and making sure it makes sense, because we don't want to just create more of a problem for us in a couple of years.
All right, thanks.
Yeah. No, it's a good question.
Just along those lines, what's the total that we're talking about spending in equipment replacement? We're going to save $57,000 out of $200,000, or do you have any idea what that number is? And while she's looking that up, I can ask my other question. Are you planning on the CIP planning and administration on a project by project, or are you just going to do a one-time $25,000 transfer?
We actually haven't worked that out yet. Appropriately, we want to sit down and try to determine if we could do it on a project-by-project basis, because I think that's the best way to do it, most appropriate way to justify it. Complicated that gets. We don't want to create more work than we're saving, but that is the preferential way to do it.
Currently, we have $274,000 budgeted in equipment replacement for next year, and I know we also delayed a few vehicles, so that's probably increased by $20,000 to $30,000, so close to $300,000 budgeted for next year in equipment replacement.
Thanks. So about 15% we're budgeting.
Guaranteeing full cost recovery. Some of these projects that go on and have a lengthy number of items that need to be considered run up staff costs well beyond what the fees cover. So this would be an efficient way to address that problem. Public Works engineering position. There's an engineering tech in the Public Works Department, does a lot of the GIS work and associated things. We're recommending elimination of that position. $42,000 savings is only the amount from the general fund. A portion of that position is also funded from other funds. The actual savings is greater than that. With the slow downturn in a lot of the building activity, one, some of that work can be transferred to some talented interns we have in that office that can do a lot of the computer work. But there's also other staff in the department that, at least for now, with the slow building activity, could take on some of the additional responsibilities. At some point, we probably need to look at rehiring that if building activity picks up again. The Public Works also has a streets position that we're expecting a retirement once again in that position. The savings here is $60,700. Once again, portion of that is funded out of the street fund, so this isn't the full amount of savings. It also doesn't represent an entire year of savings. And the primary impact of that position would be some reduced ability to do street repairs. And then we get to a couple of changes associated with the police department. We have one full-time position and then three part-time positions in property and evidence, as well as a reclassification of a parking position. And I'd like to turn this over to the chief, because this is exciting because it is part of an overall reorganization of the department, which actually has while these positions obviously have an impact on the department, but in the big picture, the chief's been able to come up with a reorganization that actually increases sworn officers on the street and in the key patrol operations. So okay. Let the chief explain that to you.
Mr. Mayor and Council, thank you for letting me be here tonight and talk a little bit about our restructuring plan for the police department that actually began about 9 months ago when we first started looking at the police department. And should I go ahead and please? One more, please. Began about 9 months ago when we first started looking at a kind of an organizational assessment of the police department to determine if we could identify some opportunities where we could be more efficient, more effective, and improve our service delivery. During that time and up until now, we identified six areas we wanted to review, which were service delivery, a workload analysis, what work people do, some staffing levels and position evaluations. We also looked at the budget, fleet and equipment, and also regional services and how we participate in those regional services. What came out of that that assessment was some recommended actions. We had six recommended actions. The first was to improve patrol and traffic staffing levels on the street with existing personnel in the police department. The second was to consolidate duties and reduce support staff where appropriate, if we could. The third was to look to reclassification of some support personnel that we thought would be better classified, and we'll talk about that. Of course, in the area of budget, we looked at a reduction in some operational expenditures, which you've already seen earlier this evening. Fleet leasing and standardization of some of our equipment to be more efficient and effective in that area. And then advance the concept of more consolidation of regional services here and in the county that we participate in. What came out of that was a series of recommendations. The first recommended change is to, when we did this before, actually, the budget shortfall issue was upon us. We'd already taken the steps to restructure our DARE program, our drug education program in the schools, from one full-time police officer that was assigned to the schools to a part-time reserve officer that has been trained and has experience in doing youth programs. The focus of this program now would be primarily on the elementary schools, and the result of that will increase our patrol staffing by one officer, that full-time officer that was assigned to the DARE program full-time, to move over and assist in uniform services and patrol. Next one. The next change we're recommending is to rename and direct the support services sergeant position to a dedicated traffic section. We'd like to take the assigned former admin in the volunteer ranks that we already have to step up and coordinate our volunteer program. As far as our maintaining our community relations throughout the community, we're looking to improve our newsletter technology through an electronic newsletter that we can do that will reduce the amount of labor involved in contacting the public, and also use that newsletter and enhancing the neighborhood officer program and having officers play a larger role in providing crime prevention and information to the community.
Can you go, I'm sorry, can you go back one? Just, I want to finish. So.
One slide?
So back one slide, yeah. So the result establishes a dedicated traffic and a sergeant and two motor officers. We had two motorcycles. One was down. You got them both going again. And have we had two motor officers actively working full-time?
No, we haven't. Because of some of these specialized assignments over the years, we've had two motorcycles, but actually only one motorcycle officer. And so by moving that position over, if you recall, I talked about the DARE position coming over, it brings our staffing level up high enough where we can dedicate now two motorcycle officers. And that sergeant that was normally, in the past, was supervising, involved in the permits, backgrounds, training, moving that person over to supervise the traffic function. What that allows us to do is have, again, a dedicated traffic services function, two motors working 7 days a week because of a staggered schedule, which puts more traffic enforcement out on the street and visibility. But also, we want to task those people, and I think I missed that on the first go-around on the slide. We want to task that group with special event management here in the city. That's a task that usually just falls on whoever is next up in the rotation kind of to manage special events, and we feel it would be better to have that done by trained traffic people.
Sounds good. Thanks, Chief.
I think we could go back one if we could. Thank you. Again, going back to the support services supervisor position, the result of this change would eliminate that support services supervisor position, a full-time position, with savings annually of about $70,000. Again, the services there would be picked up through some improvement in technology and encouraging work on the neighborhood officer program with the individual officers.
Quick question, Steve. The the Neighborhood Watch program. You and I have had some discussions about that. Where does this leave us in terms of making sure that program is restored? How would that be addressed?
Well, I think there's two ways we're looking to address Neighborhood Watch, and actually one of them was happening before we even had the budget shortfall. And I think a lot of people realize that the kind of traditional Neighborhood Watch where people come out and meet has taken a bit of a slow down. People don't always come out and meet with their neighbors as they used to. And so we had already taken steps to kind of invigorate the program by way of this new electronic newsletter that can be delivered to people through their homes on their internet. And so one of the things we want to do is encourage their participation and have that information exchange via an electronic newsletter. The second part is that the neighborhood officers, the officers assigned specific neighborhoods, are going to have to take a much more involved role in coordinating and attending Neighborhood Watch meetings when we do have those Neighborhood Watch meetings.
Yeah, and I guess part of the re-energizing of the program would also be the recruitment of, the block captains and things like that, which I'm under the impression that list is out of date, and so that we're moving in that direction as well.
We would. We have a very active volunteer program in the department, and what we would want to do is engage some of those volunteers to move over and assist us in the area of Neighborhood Watch and the coordinating functions there. There's nothing worse than having a volunteer without giving them something to do, and I think a lot of them are ready to help by stepping up and encourage that Neighborhood Watch program.
Is there any relationship between our CERT program volunteers and our Neighborhood Watch volunteers?
That's what I was just going to mention. Is the other exciting aspect about that? This is that the staff from the fire department and the police department are working right now and somewhat linking those two programs and kind of expanding the scope beyond just crime prevention, but to get into neighborhood disaster response planning and neighborhood plans.
We've already worked, working with the fire chief and his staff, to look to bring our Police Citizens Academy and the CERT group together as a group, and that's what we're working with. This next area has to do with consolidating duties and reduce support staff where appropriate. The change we're recommending is the next area that we're talking about is a reclassification of our part-time parking enforcement officer. The parking enforcement officer position was started as a pilot program approximately 7 or 8 years ago, and at the time did not have a specific classification, but was being paid a reserve police officer pay status for that position. I think we're ready to say that that's a good pilot program, and we think we should classify that as a parking enforcement officer position, which would mean to take the pay status and adjust it to what would be more appropriate pay level. Of course, we've already talked a little bit, and we'll be talking more about fleet leasing and equipment standardization. Of course, we're going to be proposing to move the police fleet into a municipal leasing program and standardize a lot of our equipment. You'll be hearing about that in a separate staff report on June 10th. We believe that that will result in not only the savings this year of cars we were going to replace, but will improve the efficiency and the effectiveness of the police fleet. It will reduce our downtime. It lowers our staff time spent on maintenance and standardizes our equipment. It also moves to no old and new vehicles, and we believe that it will also increase our resale value when the vehicles come offline at the end of the lease. And we'll be talking more about that in the June 10th meeting. And last but not least, an important part is we believe that it's important for us to move to encourage the consolidation of some regional task forces that are operating in the county, specifically the Narcotics Task Force, the Regional Narcotics Task Force, the Sheriff's Narcotics Unit, and the Regional Gang Task Force under one umbrella organization. The reason for that is we believe that many of these activities are related, obviously in the area of the regional narcotics team and the sheriff's narcotics team, but also the gang task force gang members and the activities of gang members relate directly to the narcotics trade, and we believe an umbrella organization would improve the efficiency and effectiveness of these regional enforcement efforts. Hopefully it will improve some of the current funding and the resources available to us, and most of all equalize some of the costs that we have and make opportunities available for additional grants. And the probably the most important part is discussions are underway right now with the Criminal Justice Administrators Association, which is the body here in the county of police chiefs and the sheriff. We've already begun talks. We had an urgent meeting just yesterday regarding this topic in particular, and there is movement towards looking at some models that we can do to encourage consolidation.
I just want to tag on to that, Steve. This is a very, very important issue, at least for me. And so I was happy to hear that there may be some loosening of perhaps some, of the system the way it's been, and people are ready. I'm hoping the sheriff is ready to at least unwrap this and take another look at it. But I would appreciate it if you feel that that things aren't moving, that they're starting to regress, if you would please let me know, because there may be a way we can help you out with this.
I appreciate that. And then right now it does seem to be moving in a positive direction. And, in fact, today we learned of yet a new grant opportunity that's available from the federal government to not only encourage consolidation, but grant management at the regional level. And we immediately jumped on the opportunity to apply for that, the CJA group.
Okay.
Okay. Joe? Okay, continuing on, last few here. Parks maintenance, we have one position that is also expecting a retirement upcoming, savings of $75,000. Community Development Department, we've recommended a number of minor adjustments. One is elimination of the services assistant position, the part-time position that I mentioned earlier, elimination of an intern position, and then we're talking about funding the community development director and planning associate out of the RDA and housing funds.
Steve, what is the savings from the intern position?
It's about $10,000 a year. And the director is already funded partially by the RDA, and we're just talking about him to pay equally and feel that it was fair and that everybody was kind of pitching in to do something to get us at least this last little way. I'm optimistic we may be able to get agreement on something. We should know more next week. Each of the groups are going to be meeting and giving us feedback at that time. But at least each of the union representatives have indicated that what we provided them, they were willing to take that back to their membership and get their feedback and hopefully a vote. And that would generate an additional $132,000, which would get us to our targeted $1.202 million in savings that is equal to the amount of deficit that we're currently projecting for that year. In addition to that, we tried our best to provide you with some realistic options in case any of these measures you weren't comfortable with or would rather see something different. And I'll go through them very quickly. As I mentioned, when we kind of got to this point, the ideas and options were becoming much more difficult without getting into that whole area of level four and cutting our core services. I think the chief already talked quite a bit about the narcotics task force. He's moving ahead and making good progress. We had this on the alternative list because one option is just eliminated entirely. Our recommendation is to continue to at least make a commitment that we would continue to fund it for the rest of this year, but with some kind of indication that after that we would want to reconsider it if no progress is made at all in terms of eliminating some of these inequities throughout the county, given the fact that different cities fund different amounts of this program. So that's our recommendation, but we're optimistic that later on this year or possibly for next year's savings, that would be a promising item. We discussed other options as far as negotiations with the groups. A few of them mention willingness to do voluntary unpaid days off or trying to negotiate additional reduction in pay. We don't think these measures will be as successful as some of the concepts we're bringing up to them in their negotiation. One of the problems with the unpaid days off is that you can't really implement it organization-wide, because in public safety, if they have an extra day off, you need to bring in somebody else on overtime to cover their shift, and so it turns out to be an actual increase in the cost. And the others weren't really interested in it unless it could be a citywide thing. So a number of problems with that, but certainly there's additional alternatives for you to direct us and try to get additional savings if necessary. Through the unions. Local sales tax funding I mentioned earlier. We still have a little bit of excess funds in this account for this year as well as next year that has not been budgeted yet. I believe we're going to need it for cost overruns on some of the capital projects that we're pursuing. So we're not recommending we use any additional. But once again, I think there's enough categories and needs out there of things that we're currently doing that you could utilize some of that for purposes that would assist the general fund but still fall within the intent of categories that it was proposed for in the first place. Community development staffing. This was an area we were originally looking at trying to get additional reductions in, given the fact that the building activity has dropped off so much. As you know, we had a couple positions that we've already eliminated. We now recommend against this at this time. I don't think it would meet the long-term interest of the city. We have some positions there that are extremely valuable in terms of being able to process some of our ongoing projects and work. And then I think more importantly, we expect a couple retirements within this department within the next couple years. And I think at that time it's going to present us with some options to do additional reorganization without having to lose valuable people at that time. I might think differently if I didn't think that was coming up, but it seems like we would be kind of shooting ourselves in the foot to do this now when we could, I think, do it much more easily in a couple years when we have actual vacancies. Next would be just additional layoffs. If you felt that we needed additional reductions and wanted to see layoffs in other areas, I didn't list these off individually. There weren't any particular that stood out to me as being better than others. It would require more analysis, and I didn't want to create a whole new round of stress in the organization by listing specific positions, but it is an option if you want to direct us to come back with some more alternatives of layoffs. A couple employees brought up an alternative modified work schedules, which more normally means people look into. Many cities do this. This is usually in the building department, engineering department, and community development. And it's more of just a general efficiency measure versus being able to cut staff normally. What it does is it allows certain designated counter times and then quiet time where the staff can go back and be much more productive in doing their plan check all at one time. The concern I had here is we surveyed other cities in the county, and it appears that nobody in this county is currently doing that. And I didn't think it would be as significant of a service level reduction if developers in this area were used to the practice. But since they're so used to being able to come in any time of day, I kind of hate to recommend that at this time. And to get the actual savings, it would have to be accompanied by some reduction in staff through the time savings, and that's another issue. And then one other one that came up was the sports complex non-resident fees. Some of you may remember that The parks director at that time, Dan Hernandez, came up with a proposal to charge additional fees for non-residents for programs as well as leagues that have over 25% of their participants that live outside the city. At that time, the council approved the non-resident fees for our classes and ongoing programs. The program to do that for leagues became fairly complicated. There was quite a bit of opposition to it. It's difficult to administer because you got to verify how many kids are in each group and where they're coming from. But we thought that we could at least throw that out there again as in terms of a proposal or some other way to formulate that proposal. Our original estimate based on Dan's prior recommendation was only about $10,000 in additional revenue, but it could probably be structured to increase that revenue, but then that becomes more and more of an impact on our youth organizations.
Do any of the other cities do anything like that, or is that?
Because we're really the central provider of those type of services.
I guess even like Paso or Atascadero, do you know if they're doing?
That's a good
or
question.
Or San Luis.
I can try to answer that. Most of those cities are more standalone. Paso Robles, Atascadero, San Luis.
Those other cities you're talking about are basically standalone communities. Paso Robles, Tascadero's, 10 miles away. I think they each have their own individual programs. I don't think any of them charge any non-residents for youth sports groups such as AYSO, youth football, Little League, all those organizations. I don't think anybody else is charging any non-resident fees for that. But as Steve indicated, we're more of a regional provider here.
Nope.
So next steps, we would like to get as much council direction this evening as we can. This evening we'd like to receive as much direction from the council as we can as far as moving ahead. A lot of these things will require fairly timely implementation in order to get the savings index budget. Our proposed schedule would be to bring the specific budget changes back for your consideration at the next meeting, which is on June 10th. That would also include a request to pursue the street sweeper equipment lease. Once approved, we would then send out official notifications on layoffs on June 11th, which would become effective in 1 month, which would be July 11th. We're hoping, if we're successful in obtaining approval from the labor agreements, that we would bring those changes forward to you on June 27th for adoption, as well as the Children in Motion fee structure changes. As I mentioned, the layoffs would officially become effective on the 11th, and then the fire chief will be bringing back the apartment inspection program for your consideration at the July 22nd meeting.
And I think that concludes our presentation. We'd be happy to answer any other questions.
Any other questions that you have?
As I understand it, Steve, what you need from us tonight is sort of a tentative nod on this strategy. That way, when it comes back to us on the 10th, that would, whatever we decide would be incorporated in the final budget for approval, right?
Exactly, yeah. Okay. We would need what's approved in the plan, if everything, we can move ahead. If you want to change something, we need to talk about what it should be changed with.
Why don't we take it one at a time? And
in pulling together, I'd like to see no layoffs. That doesn't seem like it's going to be realistic. I was kind of stunned, though, to look at the potential savings from the Countywide Narcotics Task Force. And in discussion with you, Steve, when we discussed this earlier, it seemed like some of the other cities that have participated were able to opt out and paid a much, much greater reduced fee to continue to support that. And when I asked if we could do that, it seems like if we pull out, then the entire house of cards collapses. And I'm not necessarily in favor of that either. But I would like to see some sort of equitable sharing of the pain, if you would, among all the communities involved. For this point, I can support the apartment inspection process that the fire chief is going to be bringing back to us, and I can support the measures that you've recommended and that staff has come up with. This is some tough times here, and you know we're tightening the belt as tight as it can go. And hopefully, the measures we're taking will stave off any further reductions, at least in the near term. So I can support this, Mr. Mayor, as staff's brought forward.
Thanks. Councilmember Guthrie?
Well, first I'll compliment staff in a very short term, in the very short time that you've had to put this together, that you put together a very extensive set of, unfortunately, there's no choices here. It's kind of an all-or-nothing thing. But I guess I do have a fairly different perspective, and I've expressed this to you before. But that's it. We're not in just a short term. This isn't a one-and-a-half-year change. We're looking at what I think for the city of Arroyo Grande is a much longer-term change, in which we're looking at a city that's approaching build-out and the sort of array or the kinds of services that we're going to be able to afford to provide are going to change. They're not just changing by this little bit. They're going to change significantly in the future as the cost of those services go up and the revenues actually will not be going, I don't believe, will be going up to match. I think that we can see the difference. If we look at the police department presentation that has been going on for some period of time, we can see the advantage of taking a longer period of time to review and actually come up with the kinds of changes and organizational changes that provide true efficiencies or real choices in the kinds of services we're providing. I'm okay with the stuff we're talking about for this year. Frankly, 2 months, I'm disappointed that our $400,000 fund isn't going to improve the reserves that we have available. I really think this is related to the fact that we haven't been diligent in the past about maintaining our reserves, and as a consequence, now we're up against the wall. The reality is, and this didn't come out but it was related to me, is that we're still only going to be at, even with all of these changes, all of these cuts, we're still going to be at only a 10% reserves. So we really have no contingency still. And we have, you know, I think it's at least somewhat questionable whether the street sweeping really works. I think it's questionable whether, you know, the $130,000 reductions will come through. There's still a lot of unknown contingencies here that we'll be back here, I think, in 6 months and looking for another $500,000. I'll just pick that out of the blue. But so I think we need to begin the process now of really looking for the kinds of changes that we're really going to have to make going forward. There are going to be services we don't offer anymore. I don't know what they are, and we need to bring the public in, make the public aware to know that these kinds of changes are going to take place. There are a couple of things in here that I really just can't support it, and one of them is that we're going to eliminate a general fund position in public works and then recreate it in the sales tax. If we're going to do that, I think we need to formally come out and say that we're going to take a portion of the sales tax that we set aside for capital funds and put it in the general fund, because that's what we have to do, rather than sort of do it informally by eliminating the position of the general fund and recreating in the sales tax fund. I think that's a slippery slope, but I think it's just bad policy to do it that way, and it doesn't really keep faith with the people who voted for the sales tax. If we're going to change that, we need to do that formally. We have a similar issue, I believe, in the one parks department position, where we're going to be paying it this year from the sales tax savings, because I'm guessing we never actually hired the position in the sales tax. So we failed to provide the service, the extra services we said we were going to provide, and are then using that funding to backfill the general fund shortage. I'm not saying I would support making that change, but I do think we owe it to make that formal change. So I won't support this as long as those two things are in it. That is one of the suggestions, the $100,000 that's available in unused sales tax. I'd rather see us formally say that for the next 2 years we're going to have to take this funding and move it over to the general fund. I'd really rather that the public knows that that's exactly what we're doing, rather than just kind of messing around with it. I'm really hesitant about the Children in Motion, that there's really that much savings there. I mean, that's a 30% increase in how we'll fund that in the future. I think that needs to start now. I think we've seen the downside of sort of putting these decisions off and hoping that the revenue works out, or increasing fees in a time when we have less building, and then seeing, you know, it should have been no surprise that actually the fees never appeared. So I know we have to do something in the short term. I would prefer just to do the one-year deal that gets us through to July and actually spend the next 2 months reviewing other changes. So that's where I'm at with it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Arnold.
Hey, Mr. Mayor. Well, I can't say I disagree a whole lot with Councilman Guthrie. I'm not as adamant that I wouldn't support this if we don't not shift the funding the way we have with the sales tax. I think we do need to fully understand if that is actually what is occurring, and so that we're stating it. I do know that there was some discussion when we did the sales tax that some of the maintenance would be paid for out of those funds. I understand what he's saying is that we're basically really not adding a position, but I also understand what you're saying, Steve, in that if we're basically moving, doing some different work, but I don't think it's nice and clean either way. So I think we at least want to fully understand what we're doing there. I will support the street sweeper issue with a caveat, and I really want to see the numbers between now and when we would actually formally go forward with this, because I'm a little less confident that we're going to see the savings. And while I fully support the idea of trying to not have layoffs, I think the realities are whether we have the layoff in the city or if we have a layoff with a member in the community, I think the reality is there's going to be a layoff somewhere. I guess what I'm looking at the end of the day is that we really protect our bottom line and do what is the most fiscally responsible thing to do. And I know it's going to say it's a fine line. That's why I asked the intern question, because I'm always looking at the little people down at the bottom that are the $10,000 people that are actually doing a lot of the work. I'm always really nervous when we're cutting them. So I can support that. The narcotics issue, I'm kind of in that whole same. I'm willing to give this a little bit of time, so that, since the chief is making some real progress, I think, right now. But I'm not going to support us being the one that holds this thing up, because everybody else was smarter than us to get out early and then just pay it in lieu fee, basically, instead of actually contributing resources. So, because it is a substantial amount of money that we are paying, and it appears primarily because the sheriff has been kind of greedy with the grants. So, let's see, what other issues that I see? The Children in Motion, I think one of two things is going to happen either here. Either we're going to see increased revenue or we're going to see decreased expenses, because once we know, have a better understanding of what our staffing levels needs to be, I think we'll be able to either save money there or we'll see an increase in revenue. So I think that'll probably be a balance. I'm not as concerned. I do agree that we probably do need to be starting to analyze positions, maybe not on a real publicized, making everybody nervous and stuff, but I think we do truly need to understand what are areas where, while it may not be a lot of fluff, but there's definitely, you know, some, you know, maybe excess meat, because we're probably getting a lot of the fat out of it right now. So, because I am concerned as well that this is, I agree with you. I don't think you can go to the gas station and not be concerned. Fuel prices impact more than just what you're putting in your car. It impacts every cost. And I saw today that they're now predicting that food costs are going to be going up about 9% a year, is the new estimate. And these are going to start affecting people's decisions on a lot of things. And so I think everybody's going to start feeling real pain. And this is just, unfortunately, I think, the beginning. But I can support this with the caveats that I basically said as well. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, thanks. Sure.
Well, I don't like layoffs either, Steve. I think you told me that many of the, maybe a great majority of the people that are laying off or really retiring, some of whom, I think the print shop owners, retired a while back and still working here.
retiring or eligible for retirement.
There you go. All right. Good. I want to thank you all for all the work you've gone through. I'm not really a budget guy or a budget wonk like some of my colleagues, but I know that you have done an awful lot of work on this. You've gotten great cooperation from the staff. I think we have a good staff overall. I hate to see some of them go, but if they're retiring early, that's not as bad as being laid off. I say keep the alternatives in your back pocket.
It was very well done. We had a number of very key prominent energy analysts that gave some interesting information. None of it was good. And I think probably the issue that was driven home was, number one, there's no end in sight right now in terms of the rising cost of gas at the pump. In short order, we're going to see $200 a barrel crude, and we're going to see $5 a gallon gasoline. I'm not sure what that's going to do to diesel, but I don't think it's going to be good. The points that were made were obviously the connecting the dots, if you will, between the high cost of petroleum fuel and how that reacts to other revenue streams and sources for local government. And for us, obviously, it's while sales tax may spike and at the gasoline pump, the available funds for other sales tax categories are going to continue to diminish. It's obviously going to affect the spendable income that people have for travel, which is going to affect our TOT. So the outlook is not good. And so the remarks that I've heard today about restructuring, Jim mentioned the fact that we're going to be back here in 6 months. Well, I fully expect that we will. The budget, as you well know, and you and Angie and all of you have done a tremendous job. I told you, I think before, Steve, this had to be tough. It's tough for all of you, and the fact that you were able to put this together, it's in my mind, you've earned your keep many times over. It's making the best of a bad situation. Unfortunately, that situation isn't going to get any better. It's likely to get much worse. So I fully expect to be back here in 6 months. This is a dynamic process, and it will be throughout whatever period of time we categorize as a crisis. As far as I'm concerned, we have, as you mentioned, stopped the bleeding, but the wound is still there. And it's likely to get larger and more irritated as we verge into next year. The reason why I mention that is because, in a manner similar to the police department, Steve, what you've done so far with looking at some of the reorganization strategies, this is going to be a different ballgame for us, especially with the information, which I deem, I'm not a cry wolf type person, but I'll tell you, this morning was pretty much of an eye opener. The fiscal horizon is not good for us and for most cities and political subdivisions in the years to come. So it's not going to be business as usual. It's going to be a whole different ball game. It's going to require all of us to take a hard look at how we do business, department by department. So I fully expect that reorganization strategies are going to be the name of the game if we're going to stay afloat as a political subdivision. That's the hard reality. I wish there was better news, but I don't see it happening anytime soon. The strategy that you have here, and I understand some of the little things that folks have pointed out. For me, I what I don't want to do is upset the apple cart. I know the amount of work that went into trying to put pieces of this puzzle together so that we can get through this year with a balanced budget. And I am not going to take any of those pieces out of the equation. As far as the sales tax issue and the position, I don't see that as a big deal. I think we can clarify that, what we're doing in our sales tax report to the people, and they will understand it. So I don't want to mess with that personally. I think what you proposed is fine. The last thing I want to do is stipulate the fact that I do appreciate the work that Sean has done for us and in the community, but obviously I think our first obligation here is to look at the stability of our city and its people and its personnel. I think that has to be our number one priority. You know, is there going to be a payoff change? And based on what I heard this morning, not in a positive way. So this is only the beginning. The only other comment I'll make is on the narcotics task force. There are a lot of nuances to that task force that we obviously probably shouldn't bring up in this meeting. But it isn't just a question of the inequity in what we're paying versus some of the other cities. There are consequences, some severe consequences, I think, if that task force disbands because we pull out. That's going to leave us in a situation that I'm not willing to go in right now. So I applaud the fact that you've had some success in that area, Steve. And once again, if you, I'm not sure what buttons we can push, but I'm certainly willing to try as aggressively as I possibly can to make sure that this falls out in a way that is equitable for the cities and the county. So, once again, thank you, all of you, for the hard work you've put into this. And our work, unfortunately, isn't over. It's just beginning. And there's going to be tough times ahead. There's no way around it. So I can support this, once again, taking us to the next level so that we can, once again, see the results and then readjust as we need to.
And we can go for it. Just to follow up on that, specifically the comment that this is, just the start, and we completely recognize that. We're already working on a number of other potential ideas that, frankly, at some point were on these lists, and then we realized we wouldn't be able to get the completed savings in this year, but there are things that we're working on, recognize the need for more savings later this year and next year. So we're already, I think we have some very good potential ideas, and this just gives us the time to go ahead and start working on some of those things to come back to you later in the year, hopefully, with more savings. So we very much appreciate your support. I can't tell you how important that is. The last thing I was going to mention, I didn't know if you wanted to provide another opportunity for public input, since we didn't actually have a section associated with this report. It was just the public comment at the beginning. So,
well, I'm certainly not opposed to it. If anybody wants to come up and say anything else. Okay. Doesn't look like it.
Okay.
Anybody have anything else for the good of the cause? Okay. Do you need anything else from us, Steve?
I guess it would be good to probably have a motion just voting to provide direction to staff to proceed with the proposed plan, unless there's any changes you want to include in that.
Mr. Mayor, I'll move that we advise staff to proceed with the plan.
I'll second that.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
Councilmember Costello?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Fellows?
Yes.
Councilmember Costello? I mean, Guthrie?
No.
You got me all messed up on that. Councilmember Arnold?
Yes.
And Mayor Ferrara?
Yes. didn't know if you needed a motion or not on it. It said direction, so I thought we would. No, that's good. That's good. Motions are always good. All right. If there's nothing else, we are adjourned. Thank you.